Live from the Annex Wealth Management Studios at the Avenue in downtown Milwaukee, this is Wisconsin's Morning News. In for Vince Petrano, here's Eric Bilstad.
Vince Petrano taking a couple of days off. Been texting with him, though. He's in town. It's one of those staycations where he plays a lot of golf, spends time with family, plays some tennis.
I think he was at the game yesterday, I think.
He was at the game.
It is taken.
It's funny. I always tease Vince because he works even when he's off. So I'm still expecting to see him in the office one of these days, just showing up because that's just in his brain. But that's okay. And I don't mind someone like that to work and partner with. So Vince is back on Monday. That's Mike Spalding. You heard he is in. Adam Roberts is in for Debbie Lazaga and Greg Pancake Hill taking care of everything, producing the big show for us today.
So we've all been there, right? Spending some evenings, birthday parties, I don't know, league maybe. Talking about bowling alleys.
Oh, yeah.
The American bowling alley, though, Eric, is not what it once was. The Midwest favorite sport and one that the New York Times has called the most popular participation sport in the country. About 70 million Americans say they hit a bowling alley at least once per year.
Okay.
Well, America's favorite non-baseball pastime is at a crossroads. Like small businesses across the country, alleys are getting gobbled up one by one by major corporations that are looking to parlay the $5 billion industry into a part of their portfolio. Of the 3,700 bowling centers left in America, you'll notice a name that's plastered on the side of hundreds.
B-O-W-L-E-R-O.
Yeah, Bowlero, the publicly traded company, owns 350 bowling centers across the country, and that number grows daily. Mike Jakubowski works alongside the Pro Bowlers Association. I had a chance to catch up with him and talk about the state of bowling, not only in the Wisconsin or Milwaukee, but across the country. Look at it like movie theaters a little bit back in the 70s and 80s, where every community had their movie theater. I feel like the same thing with bowling alleys. And I don't know if it's just me anecdotally noticing, but it feels like that is less and less as far as the mom and pop alleys and lanes go. Is that the case, or is that just my perception?
It's a mixture. There are still independently owned bowling centers, and there are corporate bowling centers. And what has happened is there's just been an explosion of sports and sporting things to do since that same time period. So anyone in the bowling business has had to do things that were never thought of before. Having specific cool food items, leaning into the different cosmic and lighting displays, and adding video games and laser tag and other things. So to me, it's an industry that, it, very much like every other industry, has had to adapt over the last 4 decades.
And if we're using the allegory for the movie theaters, that's why the Marcuses and the AMCs exist. And in the bowling world, you can get AMF lanes, you can get Bolero's a major one too. You get sort of the conglomeratization, I guess you would, of bowling. What effect has that had on alleys? Because I know sometimes it can get very expensive when you're thinking of a dollar an hour bowling. That doesn't exist seemingly as much as it did.
Everything is more expensive. And to have all of those things exist as either an independent operator or as a corporate operator with multiple locations, in my mind, places that can stay open are golden. And the market will decide where people would like to go spend their time and spend their dollar.
Is there something to be said about bowling in a small alley, though, that has like 6 lanes?
Yes! Yes, there is. I was just in one. We had our PBA Tour Finals at a place called Steel City Brews and Bowl in Bethlehem, Pennsylvania. And some very innovative owners, Lee and Chris DeSant, have taken this place over, 24-lane center, and it completely remodeled it. And there are places like that here in Milwaukee. A Bayview Bowl is a good example of one of those. But because it's such a unique event, and it's akin to walking into a ballpark and seeing that green grass and immediately being taken in by why you're there. A similar feeling when you walk into any kind of bowling operation.
How important is that price point for bowling to maintain? I think the New York Times said 70 million people say they go to a bowling alley at least once per year. How important is that price point? And if it is more of a business model where it's, you know, the McDonald's of the world take over bowling alleys, does that stick? Does that price point stick around, or does it start to phase people out, do you think?
The wider circle, sure. There's a large number of people that might stick their head in the bowling center once a year. And then you get those concentric circles that define the serious league player, the birthday parties, the other type business that things bring in. And I don't know that you can survive as a bowling operator, as an independent or as corporate, without entertaining the notion that you need to have four or five different constituencies that can fill your leagues, can bring in some corporate business, can do some other things. You add a volleyball court outside. You have your own wing sauce because you're bringing in people to have something to eat afterwards.
Stand your crystal ball for me. 15 years from now, does the charming bowling alley as a model still exist as it has?
I believe it will. I believe that there are enough people out there that want to have the type of product available that would attract people that would want that sort of thing. And I'm also looking at 15 years down the road. What does our cell phone look like? What is the next level of digital entertainment? What is the next Netflix thing that we haven't even thought of yet? And will the thought that I want human interaction, I'd like to be physically active, I'd like to incorporate some of that. So not only am I thinking about bowling, but I'm also thinking about everything that surrounds bowling, because all that other stuff has just as much impact on what could be a bowling experience 15 years from now.
So big thanks to Mike Jakubowski for chatting with me. And the story was interesting because I read a blog post about private equity in bowling. And the first thing that came to my mind was the Bolero signs. And like, it's what you see all over.
Right.
You rarely see. And he mentioned Bayview Bowl. Like there's like JB's on 41. There's all these local places. And I feel like bowling is so traditionally held. Like you have these visceral reminders and memories of what it is. Sometimes it is, global and things like that. But it's like you can see the wood walls.
Yes, of course.
Like the same balls that get used over and over and over again.
The sounds, the pop of the pins.
Yeah, and I want to be clear. Bowling is not dying at all, not even close. It's actually, according to bowl.com, one of the fastest growing high school sports. More than 5,000 schools offer boys and girls high school bowling programs. 48 states have high school bowling as well.
No. When I hear private and equity together, though, that always makes my skin
crawl. It's usually not good. And, not to bag on the private equity firms, but, when you do have one place that is gobbling up all these other ones, if you don't have an alternative to go to, then what's the motivation for them to try and make the lanes as good as they possibly can or lean into the kind of the traditional bowling? So, thank you.
All right. 8:21. Thank you, Mike.
Together, we got a chance. Separately, we have no f***ing chance whatsoever. So either we're in this together, or you can kiss my ass. Thanks. Have a good day, fellas.
Wait, now, who is that guy?
That's a former head of the Pro Bowlers Association from a 2006 documentary called League of Ordinary Gentlemen.
All right.
He gave a speech at the beginning of the season, and they were talking about revenue, and it just got me fired up.